This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Lickety-split fashion.
That's what they call me on the beat. Lickety-split.
Lickety-split Weeder.
Dan Weeder.
We'll mention this mainly because Dan Weeder said we would mention this nugget.
Bears beat reporter for The Athletic.
You're going to have to win occasionally without sending extra pressure. And then if you do send the extra pressure, you got to get there. And there were a couple times that they sent everybody and they didn't get there. And Jordan Love made them pay. And then there's a celebration in the end zone. And they're playing that song that they play up there at Lambeau Field. And you're totally dispirited, right? They're banging on their drum all day. And you're going back to the bench trying to find answers for what you need to do to get to that quarterback a little bit more effectively. And so I have not trusted a Bears coaching staff in my time on the beat the way that I trust this one to put together a plan that positions their team for success.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
I call Mo Lyman the Avengers. I call Drew Dahlman the Hulk. Ozzy is a Wolverine. Doctor Strange as left guard with Joe. The Red Hulk is Jonah. Darnell's Bucky because he has the one arm.
So if you're the Avengers, are you Samuel L?
I don't know who I am. Don't figure that out, but the Bears.
Dan Weiderer.
Man, you guys are good on Fridays, aren't you? You phrase the questions a little bit different.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
This segment with Dan Weiderer, sponsored by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. It's meant to be. Spiegel and Holmes off today. He is Anthony here, and I am Judson Richards, joined now by The Athletic's Dan Weiderer. Dan, the press conference was good again today. I know that Ben kind of felt like, man, you guys are really digging deep. But he used the word despair when talking about week two, coming off of that Lions loss, right, 52-21, what's most remarkable to you about the way that the team responded as won 11 of 14 games since that loss to the Lions?
It's really crazy to reflect on where everyone's headspace was walking into the Monday of week three and where we are now heading for the season finale. It's just, I think, probably the buy-in that Ben retained after two rough games to start the season.
Dan was cooking.
And his ability to get that was a big deal. And then I think to get the belief of the win in Vegas was a big deal for that team to understand, okay, let's take a breath here, catch our breath, get our feet under us, and then get rolling. And they've gotten rolling, obviously, since the bye week with the success that you mentioned. And it's just it's crazy to reflect on what that game was in week two, because neither of these teams resemble that at all as we walk into week 18. And so we'll see what we have in store Sunday at Soldier Field.
I was talking to Judson a bit earlier, Dan, just about sort of this being our first season in Chicago, getting to observe Ben Johnson closely as Bears coach, and you're obviously as well-sourced as anyone in the industry. It's one thing to have this image of what he'll be like as a head coach after being so impressed with him as an offensive schematic mind, but that game, that Detroit game and coming out of it, that to me was sort of the first legit test for Ben Johnson, was it not?
Huge test, too, because – and you've lived it. You know what it's like here when you get in these prolonged stretches of failure and the sort of contagious nature of the woe is me mindset. And that was there within the fan base for sure. Walking into week three, it was like, this is just a continuation of everything we did last year, just with a new leader at the front of it. And so it just felt like, it's not like people were giving up on Ben at that stage. It just felt like the Bears were further away than anyone wanted them to be. And so, the ability to handle that, to be very, very patient and yet persistent with the things he was demanding. And then you got to get some results, you know, and they got a few results that then were able to get the radar of everybody in the building up a little bit. And then when you continue to build on it, the snowball just gets rolling really quickly. You win 9 out of 10. And now everybody in the building believes in everything you say. And that's what, you know, again, I've said it several times here over the last month, that swell of belief has been the engine of this whole thing. It's what rescues them late in games. It's what has allowed them to win the NFC North when they were the only team last year from the division that didn't make the postseason. There's a lot of belief that has happened inside this building that's very unfamiliar to those of us who have been here through long stretches when there's none of it.
Dan, what can you tell us about the status of Roma Dunze?
Well, he's officially, Judson, listed as questionable back at practice today. It was just a short Friday practice, and Rome was limited in that practice. So I would imagine that they will play it cautiously. on Sunday. I don't think he plays. If he does, it'll probably be on a very limited rep count, and you start trying to get him on the runway for the playoff game next week. Good to see Rome back on the field. Even better to talk to him after practice and feel him being a little bit encouraged at the direction things are headed with that foot, and trying to get over this hurdle of, you know, this impatience that he's had to have through the whole month of December, where he hasn't been able to play football, and that hasn't been easy on him.
What do you anticipate seeing from Detroit? Because there's the one prevailing assumption that Dan Campbell is just this hard-nosed coach, and everybody's going to be out there all bloodied regardless of whether or not they're in the playoff picture. But then there is a reality for their franchise of Penei Sewell having a healthy offseason, Amon-Ra St. Brown having a healthy offseason is better than trotting them out there if there's not a postseason on the line. So how do you see the Lions approaching this?
Yeah, look, like, no one knows more about the pride of that team and from the top than Ben Johnson, right? He knows how Dan Campbell is wired, and there's going to be some decisions that they have to make, as you reference. I would expect them to be the same sort of feisty, gritty football team that we're used to seeing there. Now, this is not the team that won 15 games last year. The interior of their offensive line hasn't been the same. The secondary is very beat.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat up, and they're very vulnerable. And so even the guys that do play, you wonder the psychological component of, you know, Grody and I joked about it on the podcast this morning, when you get into Cancun formation, right? And say, okay, I've played enough football this year, and it's time to just start thinking about what's beyond Sunday night. And so it'll be fascinating as you see the vibes in the building. I also think this is a weird spot where the Bears have played so many big games really since Thanksgiving weekend that even though this one's got things at stake, it just feels like it lacks some of that, you know, extra buzz that we've felt leading up to the last five or six games here. And so it'll be really interesting to see kind of how they kind of manufacture and find the energy early in that game to play with the purpose that we're so used to seeing them play with.
This segment with Dan Weaver brought to you by Four Seasons, your trusted local experts for heating, air conditioning, plumbing, electric, and generators. Dan, you're so right. Anthony and I, we were talking about, you know, other quarterback potentially that the Bears could face. And I was talking about Brock Purdy and Matthew Stafford and Jordan Love. And then he mentioned Jared Goff. And I'd kind of, in the conversation, forgotten that there was still one more regular season game to get to before we get to the postseason. But then that leads to the defense, right? Like, whether it's Jared Goff or any of those other quarterbacks, that is drastically going to change who we're used to seeing at Soldier Field. I don't want to take anything away from the 6-1 record that they have at Soldier Field, and they've won six straight. But Spencer Rattler ain't Matthew Stafford, or whoever it ultimately could be. Did Dennis Allen have any real good answers this week about how they're going to fix his defense?
Nothing specific, which is not unfamiliar to us. I think they are very aware of where they are vulnerable, where their vulnerabilities lie, and how they need to kind of compensate going into the postseason. I think everyone knows that you can't bank on getting multiple takeaways in every single postseason game you play. The level of quarterback play is going to be elevated. The game flow is going to be a little different in spots. And so you have to find ways to change games without necessarily getting the takeaways, you know? And so I think finding ways to get more disruption on the quarterback is going to be huge. They haven't been able to find that answer for most of the last 4 months. And so it is one of those Achilles heels that you look at going into the playoffs and go, man, like, if the Bears lose, there's going to be ways that they lose that won't be surprising to us, right? And one of them will be getting picked apart by an opposing quarterback that isn't pressured enough and just goes about doing what high-level quarterbacks in the playoffs do. And so the Bears have to be ready to take that challenge, and it's coming really quickly, and it'll be here, you know, next week at this time.
So, Dan, from a milestone perspective, it would be surprising if Caleb isn't at least the Bears' single-season passing yardage record holder by the end of the game. But to be able to hit 4,000 for the first time in franchise history for a quarterback is a milestone that I think a lot of us have been talking about for years. But what's the impression you've gotten from Ben and Caleb, and how important it is to them?
Well, two different impressions from those two guys, because Caleb told us on the first day of training camp in July that it was a box on his checklist. You know, individually, that's something that he strives to do because he knows what it means here, right? And he has that awareness of trying to become the quarterback that accomplishes things that none of his predecessors inside this franchise ever could. And so I appreciate that about him. I appreciate that that is part of his wiring and what sends him, you know, down the direction of identifying the targets that he wants to hit. Now, Ben was very forward earlier in the week at saying this is an arbitrary number. It's not something on the forefront of his mind. Primary goal number one is to go out and win a football game. And if things happen within the flow of that, then great. But I do think that if the opportunity presents itself and the Bears are, you know, in a situation where they can choose whether to run or pass, or they can choose to go after this record with a little bit more aggression late in the game Sunday, I think Ben will give his quarterback an opportunity to do so as a little bit of a reward for all of the investment that Caleb has given him throughout the season. And so, yeah, I think that's a little fun subplot to Sunday for all of us, because it is a milestone that I think all of us would prefer not to talk about again after this year.
It kind of seems like an easy way to rally the troops too, right, Dan? As we were kind of talking about, you know, looking past week 17 as they headed towards the playoffs. And listen, this coaching staff, I think this, you know, this is a team, I think they'll be ready to go. But as far as throughout the week and Ben Johnson trying to create major moments for this game, I feel like that would kind of be an easy one to rally the troops to go and get that for your teammate, because we know that this is a close bunch.
Yeah, no, it is a close bunch, and I think it would be a moment. Like, I think we all agree that it would be a moment Sunday if it were to occur. Ant brings up the Eric Kramer record from 1995. That could fall in the first half, and that could create a little bit of that buzz that we're talking about, where the stadium will come alive if they put it on the video board, and then all of a sudden, you know, teammates will understand where they're at, and it does create some of that enthusiasm that's helpful on a day like Sunday. And so, look, there's a bunch of milestones waiting out there Sunday for the Bears. A small one. I'll give you one small one. DeAndre Swift, 3 yards away from his personal career high for rushing yards in a season. I think that would mean a lot to him. And the Bears offensively have a chance to break franchise records for total points and total yards in a season. And that's a crazy thing to talk about, given the history of this franchise.
Those teams from the NFC West, they've got a lot of high-level quarterback play. And then, of course, the Green Bay Packers know the Bears as well as anyone. As you just kind of look at what the playoff picture will hold for the Bears, do you necessarily have much of a preference, or is that almost too specific of a desire for where this team is at right now?
I think that those teams in the West feel more complete, and they feel a little bit scarier. Now, I will say this, like, I think for the city, the matchup with Green Bay is very dangerous, because if the Bears were to lose a playoff game to the Packers, it would remove too much of the joy that's been attached to a season that has rightfully established itself as being joyful, right? Like, this has been a really fun ride for 4 months, and I think too much of the shine would come off the season if they lost to the Packers. It would just feel like such torture and such torment to have the season end to them, you know? And so, like, that's where, like, for the outsiders like us looking in, you're like, this is dicey. You know, it really is dicey.
But what if they beat them, Dan? What if they take down the Packers in the postseason?
And that's what I said earlier in the week. For a season that's been sort of built around the fearlessness that Ben Johnson has instilled in this building, that's the fight you want. That's the one you want to come down, you know, the row, climb between the ropes and go and take that fight, because that is your proving ground. And it would be a huge statement win if they were to beat the Packers on that stage. It's just you got to be prepared for what's on the other side of that too. And oh, by the way, as fun as that win a couple weeks ago was at Soldier Field, the Bears played 125 minutes of action against the Packers during the regular season and didn't have a lead against them until DJ Moore caught that touchdown. So, you know, be careful what you wish for, I guess, and then just be ready for what comes your way next week.
The NFC is very deep, I think, is probably just the moral of that story. So as I've been kind of evaluating this Bears defense, discussing it and describing it throughout the week, and I guess looking for a glimmer of hope for what could be in the postseason, one of the things that strikes me is that I feel like, because of the amount of time that Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards have missed, that there's growth that can still be there just in knocking the rust off for the linebacker core. secondary with guys still in and out of the lineup. I think Jalen Johnson, as long as he's, you know, intact physically, he should keep getting better on a weekly basis. So that to me is almost hope speak and wish casting, but I do feel like there's a world where the Bears defense is at least better because guys are just in the lineup more. Does that hold up for you?
Yeah, and those are experienced guys that you're bringing up, yeah. And you watch it on the first play from scrimmage Sunday in Santa Clara, and you watch Jalen anticipate a route and drive on the football and get a pass defense that then ricochets up into the air that TJ turns into a touchdown, and you're like, okay, that's what it looks like. Those are the types of game-changing moments that are going to be required in January from this Bears defense. They just need to come more consistently and not be surrounded by so many explosive plays by the opposing offense, and so you've got proven playmakers in this defense. You've got guys that can play at that level and have proven that they are difference makers. Now they just have to do it consistently, and that's really the secret to this league, and it only gets more difficult in January football, which for us over the last decade has just been like, you know, one final regular season game as we kind of wish the end of the season away, and now we've got a fun finale Sunday followed by a home playoff game next week that's going to have this city alive and electric for what's to come.
Dan, what about Kyler Gordon?
Great question, Judson. That's one that we haven't really circled back on this week. Probably a good Monday question for Ben on what the status is and whether they have any outside hope that he could return. I know that when he went down for, I guess it would have been the third time here a few weeks ago, I just kind of wrote it in the books as like, he's not coming back this year. We'll see if he changes that script at all in the coming weeks, but don't have anything concrete there to say one way or the other.
There's been, I guess, some resurfacing, and some of it is just sort of folks reveling in the success that Caleb Williams has had and the growth that's been there with some of the articles that were there from the offseason and early in the season here. The regular season isn't over yet, but as we kind of look back on some of the reporting that was done and interviews that were conducted and articles and books that were written, how do you sort of evaluate this arc, this ascension that Caleb has been on, not only in the production on the field, but the perception of the Bears quarterback seems resoundingly different now than it was just a few months ago?
Well, I think that there has been a bond between Caleb and Ben that has strengthened since Ben got here in April and really over the last several months as they've gotten some of the results that they desired. We've had a chance the last couple of weeks to talk to a handful of people, Ben and Caleb included, about the evolution of their relationship. And you heard last week Caleb admit that there were points in training camp where his struggles were so pronounced and Ben's irritation was so obvious that he felt that their relationship was fragile and that he didn't know Ben liked him, right? Like, and these are outward acknowledgments from the quarterback himself. And so then you just see this thing start to come alive where Caleb understands that Ben has his best interests in mind and he's coaching him hard because he was asked to coach hard and that's what their goals demand. And then all of a sudden you start to get results and you start to get growth. And now all of a sudden that connection becomes stronger and it's allowed them to have the results that they've had. I think we'd all agree that Caleb's got a long way to go to get himself to tier one of quarterback play in the NFL, but he's also checked the boxes of growth across every key category this season to give you reason to believe that his career is headed in the right direction in this building. This week, there's been a lot of praise for all of the pre-snap stuff, the huddle command, the operational stuff, all the things that you do before you have the football in your hands. That's night and day from where it was when we were in the second week of training camp. And so it's just a testament to hard work and vision and being able to be on the same page as your head coach. And so that part of the 2025 Bears is really notable because Caleb has found a way. And that's really what this league is about a lot of times, is find a way. And he's found a way to make progress. And now all of a sudden he's going into the playoffs with a chance to write an even happier chapter to what his legacy can be here.
Dan, is Grody behaving himself on the Take North podcast?
For the most part, when he doesn't behave himself, that's enjoyable to me. I like it when Grody gets a little stirred up a little bit and we get a little bit off the rails and can take some things down some fun roads. But man, it's been a lot of fun this year to do that show through a whole different sort of perspective and mood, right? Like, it's been a different mood for the last 4 months than we've been used to since the podcast began in 2022. So it's been cool to be part of that ride.
Winning, Dan. It's called winning.
Wait, what is that?
Spell
that, Anthony. Use it in a sentence.
Dan, great stuff. Enjoy the game. Thanks for your time. Look forward to it. Look forward to Sunday. Thanks again.
You got it. Happy New Year, fellas.
Thanks, Dan. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to Dan Weeder. You know what? We're going to keep it on the quarterback. By the way, I do want to remind score listeners, Bowles, Magic tonight at the UC. Our pregame coverage begins at 6:45. Tip-off is at 7 o'clock on the Score and the Fitzgerald Equipment Bulls Radio Network, powered by Heli Forklifts. Can the Bulls knock off the Magic? Gosh, you talk about injury. No Zach Collins, no Josh Giddey, no Kobe White. Can they get it done tonight against Orlando Magic? We'll have that for you right here on the Score. But Anthony, let's go back to that quarterback question that you asked Dan Weidrich. Let's use the F word. Franchise.
Ah. Okay.
Has Caleb Williams solidified himself as the Bears franchise quarterback?
For a second.
We will. Yeah, I know.
Get him, Tyler.
On the Score's 34th birthday, probably not the best idea. We will open the phone line to you, 312-644-6767. Text calls as well. Are we comfortable in that space? Franchise quarterback of the Bears, Caleb Williams. We'll tackle that coming up next.
Excuse me, I was about to cuss.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.